Just Curious.
Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is Let's Talk Movies, and I'm Jason Connell. On the show today, I'm joined by special guest, Sal Rodriguez.
Thank you, Jason. It's good to be here.
Good to have you back, my friend. This is episode 6 of 7 of the origin stories, our story of Let's Talk Movies.
Yes, I love it. Because prior to Let's Talk Movies was...
Movie matters.
Yes.
And it does matter, Sal.
Movies do matter.
I loved it. And if you've been with us the last 5 episodes, you know the story, how I started off doing these individual shows, short content, revisiting these classic movies from the 80s. Every year was a different movie. And so I couldn't, you know, pick a bunch of movies from the same year. And then actually I wrote a script thanks to Sal Rodriguez's idea. And I thought, you know, that's a good idea, because otherwise if I'm doing different takes, I might just be all over the place. I needed some sort of roadmap. And I think it was a great exercise for me, honestly. I really do. And so I hear it now, and I did edit it and I put it out there, and it lived out in the space until like the early 2020. I don't cringe now, but I hear a younger podcaster now. Like, I'm still proud of the passion and the, you know, the insight of these movies. And it makes me want to see the movie again, which is the whole point. But I'm thinking, wow, yeah, I was really learning a lot about production and post-production. So I just wanted this to live because they got thrown aside, Sal, for the longer content, which I'm also very proud of. And to be honest, some of these episodes are so long that that also helped me become a better podcaster and production, post-production, everything. And for you as well, because you're on a lot of these episodes.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm proud to be part of the family. Yeah, there are these times that we find that we have some great content sitting around that's not being utilized, that's not being put to good use. Yeah. I just discovered some video myself that I had recorded a few years ago. I really believe in, if you take the time to create something, a video, an audio, anything like that in today's digital era, if you create something, put it out there. Do something with it. Do not just leave it sitting there. So yeah, the fact that these were just sitting there.
I know.
Because I guess I never knew that they were like sitting there dormant because I had listened to them.
Yes.
So I guess I just kind of always thought that they were somewhere. But no, they were listenable, then no longer listenable.
Yeah.
And I completely forgotten about it.
Well, it was, I looked at it as like an exercise to get to a bigger goal. And the pandemic was happening. All this stuff was happening. It's like, let's go long form. I can connect with more people. Movie Matters was me just doing a solo show. Let's Talk Movies, I have the option, but it, more often than not, it's a bigger discussion. And I really wanted that. And this is like 5 years ago. That I was thinking like, wow, that's longer than I realized. I mean, just about 5 years. So it's like, it's crazy how time flies. It's crazy how we've matured as podcasters. We make a lot more content. But I go back and hear this, and much like just listening to early episodes of Let's Talk Cobra Kai, go back and listen to the first episode that we ever did for Just Curious Media, which was The Karate Kid. It's fun to listen to. There's a lot of greatness in there, but we didn't know how to start it. We didn't know how to end it. You know, we just kind of were winging it. You're like, hey, here we are. I was doing your introduction. Like, hey, so I got a comedian. I got Sal Rodriguez here. And you're like, hey, what's up? It's so funny.
I mean, we're recording in my office.
In your office, in your studio space there. Yeah, we're side by side. You know, we're learning that if I laugh, I'm in his track and he's in mine. And that's just how it was.
Sure. So stop tapping your finger, Sal. Stop it.
Yeah, stop. So a lot of fun. So this episode that we haven't even talked about yet, really, was Movie Matters Episode 6, An American Werewolf in London, 1981. I recorded
a classic
John Landis classic, whom I've gotten to know and respect and given an award to, and did the handprints at the Vista Theater, which is now owned by Quentin Tarantino, of course. But I recorded this episode December 27th, 2019. We're still safe. There's no mask wearing that much just yet. No mandate just yet. I released it the same day. I was on a high for Christmas, and I was getting ready for New Year's, and I had to sneak an American Werewolf out there. And the running time was 6 minutes and 10 seconds. Very proud, but it was scrapped for the much beefier version, which was Let's Talk Movies Episode 1. We made it the first one, An American Werewolf in London, 1981, scene by scene breakdown with one Sal Rodriguez.
Yes, and I'm happy to report that since my appearance on Let's Talk Movies American Werewolf in London, one of my favorite companies, NECA, released a beautiful werewolf action figure.
It
was available mass market at Target, at Walmart. A beautiful werewolf in the image of the creature from the movie. So, yeah, a lot has happened. You know, these movies, these classic movies, are still a part of our world, are still a part of our consciousness today. Who would have thought that, what it was about a year ago, who would have thought a year ago you can get a toy from a movie from what year?
81.
Who would have guessed? I wouldn't have guessed.
Nuts. Well, we recorded this April 20th, 2020. So this is, LA was also on a curfew, if you remember the early days with the riot, Santa Monica.
It was rough. It was
and the running time.
I'm a survivor, Jason.
You are
I'm a survivor.
Running time was 1 hour, 34 minutes, so much longer than the 6 minute, 10 second episode that I did, but we covered it and we were scooting along. I remember that episode well. I remember that night. We both went back and watched the movie. I told stories of meeting John Landis, which happened in New York at Lincoln Center, a very memorable night. Michael Jackson had just passed away a few months prior. So after screening this movie, John Landis does a Q&A and then talks about the Thriller video, which he directed.
Yes.
And then they played that because people, you know, were here. I'd never seen Thriller on the big screen. So that was cool. And then I took a chance to beeline to meet him and gave him my first movie that had just come out on DVD, Strictly Background. He watches it. Well, he's very gracious, first of all. He takes it home, watches it, and 6 months later, Sal, I get an email from John Landis saying, I forget where I met you, but I loved your movie. Gives me this glowing review, which I used in the promotions of Strictly Background.
Very cool.
And then years later, honored him at the festival. So it all happened because of my love for this movie.
Well, hang on, Jason. I want to brag too. You were nice enough to hand one of my Animal House flounder action figures to John Landis to sign while I was leading another Q&A at the Los Feliz 3 up the street. You had him sign it for me, so I have on my shelf today an action figure signed by Mr. John Landis. I'm very
excited. You actually meet him? Did you make it over and meet him or no?
I never met him. No,
because I was busy. I had you over there working.
You had me working at another theater. I forgot what I was doing, and then I think you, maybe Dante.
Yeah,
over
maybe
there
Dante
at the Vista. Yeah.
Oh no, he was with me. But yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But I still have my collectible.
That's great, man. That's great. I thought I saw that on eBay the other day.
No way.
So, Sal, before we play the episode that I did back in 2019, why don't you tell our fans how they can support Let's Talk Movies?
You can support Let's Talk Movies by visiting the JustCuriousMedia.com website, our main primary website.
Yes.
Scroll down. You see all the logos of the various shows. The site looks really great, Jason. I'm really proud of it.
Thank you.
Click on the Let's Talk Movies logo right there, and that's going to take you to the show page. Scroll a little further down, and you'll see where it says Support Let's Talk Movies. Donate now. There's a little popcorn right there. And if you miss that, you go down a little further. Help us create even more great content. Click on that. Support the show for as little as $3 and no commitments, no contracts, cancel anytime. Yep. $3, $5, $8, $10. Support Let's Talk Movies. Help us keep the lights on.
Hey, the lights are going out. Hang on. Yeah, that would be wonderful. We love fans' support. We do. We give shout outs. We might have more fans on shows, actual episodes, you know, so it really means a lot. We have bills and we don't have sponsors for all of our shows. And even when we do, it's not necessarily as much as you would think. So we're building something. We're doing lots of services, various things now. Just Curious Media is getting bigger, but we need your support and we greatly appreciate it. So Sal, here we go. Moment of truth. Movie Matters. Episode 6, we hope you enjoy it. For which movie again?
An American Werewolf in London.
Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is Movie Matters, and I'm Jason Connell. Today I'm talking about An American Werewolf in London, the 1981 horror movie written and directed by John Landis. It's 7.5 rating on IMDb, and it's 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. The film tells the story of two American students who are attacked by a werewolf while backpacking through England.
Now, Landis wrote the screenplay following something he had observed while working as a production assistant on the film Kelly's Heroes. While driving in the countryside of Yugoslavia with a colleague, they came across a group of gypsies. What made it unique was that they were performing a ritual on a man being buried so that he would not rise from the grave. This gave Landis the idea for a film in which a man would confront the undead. And that's exactly what he achieved with An American Werewolf in London. The main character, David Kessler, played by David Naughton, survives the deadly werewolf attack in the beginning of the film, which kills his friend, Jack Goodman, played by Griffin Dunne. Throughout the film, he's revisited by Jack, who continues to decompose as he's trapped in an undead state. The scenes are both grotesque and humorous, as Landis directed Griffin to play his role with a positive and upbeat demeanor, which was quite unique for this type of movie at the time. Landis even commented on how people always mistake the movie as a comedy. Quote, "It's not a comedy. People keep calling it a comedy. It's very funny, I hope, but it's a horror film. We meet these guys in a truckload of sheep. This is not subtle. I mean, these boys are dead by the end of the movie. That's not really a happy tale." And Landis is absolutely correct. You're captivated by this film, but in no way, shape, or form does it feel like a comedy. I also want to point out that audiences must have felt David and Jack were in grave danger upon entering the aptly named The Slaughtered Lamb Pub in the beginning of the film. But what really helped this film become an instant classic was the groundbreaking makeup and creature design by 7-time Oscar winner Rick Baker. Of course, he would achieve his first Academy Award for his work on this film, as he and Landis were pushing their limits and bringing a new style of monster movie and special effects to cinema. And the most riveting and terrifying scene in the film, and coincidentally, one of the best in cinematic history in terms of practical special effects, is when David turns into the werewolf for the first time. Landis's idea of the transformation was a visceral one. He wanted to portray the pain from such a significant mutation. Quote, "I always thought if your body is going to go through a huge change, it's going to hurt. I wanted it to be painful. Funny peculiar and funny ha-ha. Tragic, raw, terrible, torturous, grotesque, all of these things, yet fascinating rather than repulsive." Another demand from Landis regarding the transformation was that the scene had to be shot in bright light. This put an even brighter spotlight on Rick Baker's brilliance, as he couldn't mask his effects with the shadows of a dimly lit set. The end result is an iconic 2-minute sequence that will be admired for decades to come. Another incredible and memorable scene was the ending sequence shot in London's famous Piccadilly Circus. It was the first film allowed to shoot there in 15 years, and only occurred because London's Metropolitan Police Service was so impressed with Landis's previous film, The Blues Brothers. Therefore, the production was granted a limited filming permit in which traffic was stopped only 3 times for 2-minute increments, allowing them to film the countless vehicle stunts. Having learned that, it's no surprise that Landis chose a breakneck pace to captivate and disorient the viewer with quick cuts of double-decker buses spinning out, cars crashing, and people getting run over as the werewolf terrorizes the city. Beyond the wonderful performances by Naughton and Dunne, who both endured countless hours of time in the makeup chair, John Woodvine and Jenny Agutter were great and essential to the story as Dr. J.S. Hirsch and Nurse Alex Price. Another key component in the film was its ironically upbeat soundtrack, which consists of songs with the word moon in their titles. There were 3 different versions of Blue Moon, Van Morrison's Moon Dance, and Creedence Clearwater Revival's Bad Moon Rising. Plus, the original score was done by legendary composer Elmer Bernstein, the duration of which was only 7 minutes, but it truly helped give the film a more dramatic feel. Now a few fun facts. Landis tried to use the Cat Stevens song Moonshadow, but Stevens objected to the themes and subject matter and did not want his song connected to the film. Landis thought this was hilarious because, as he pointed out, Moonshadow is actually about killing and dismemberment. In order to get the movie an R rating, Landis had to tone down the sex scene and cut out a part where a piece of toast fell out of Jack's undead throat. He also edited out a scene where the werewolves kill the 3 homeless men after preview audiences freaked out. John Landis and Rick Baker had several disagreements over the design of the werewolf. Baker wanted it to be a two-legged werewolf, while Landis wanted a, quote, four-legged hound from hell. Needless to say, Landis got his way, and the rest is movie history. So I highly recommend watching this movie for the first time, or to revisit it. And please feel free to tell me what you think. You can contact me directly through our Instagram, which is movie_matters. So thank you so much for listening, and I'd greatly appreciate it if you could subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcast. You can also stream every episode, as well as our other shows, from our website, which is just curiousmedia.com. So without further ado, please enjoy An American Werewolf in London.